Good afternoon, everyone. Allison Skyberg here, Consolidated Planning Group. We are a holistic special needs financial planning firm, and we have been putting together a series of, kind of special guests, inviting special guests to our podcast to kind of talk a little bit more about the services that they provide in the special needs community. And so today, I am super excited to be here today with Karen Mayer Cunningham. She is with specialeducationacademy.com. We've got a lot of social media and a lot of different links and how you can connect with Karen, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that in the future. But also known, you may have heard of her before, the special education boss, and boss you are, Karen, and I am so happy that you are here with us. So the deal is, and you very well know with your own kids, education is such a critically important piece, and it's one that is there's a lot of stress behind it as parents, as we have kids that have learning differences and disabilities that cause them to look at things differently, process things differently, and there's a lot of needs that our kids have, and navigating some of that is pretty difficult. So tell us a little bit about yourself, Karen. How did you get into doing what you're doing? Just tell us a little bit about you.
Sure. So I was never planning on being a special education advocate. I was planning on being popular. That didn't turn out that way.
You're a rock star.
Right. My first child had a diagnosed disability at 3 and started special education services at 3. And I just thought, this is easy peasy. We live in America. And so I just got in the Lion King backpack. I sent him across the street to the elementary school where the teachers fix everything. And it was a mess. And at the first meeting, I was just so glad that he wasn't going to be expelled for doing something wrong because he had behaviors. And then after each meeting, I just felt like an uneasiness. I'm not an educator. God bless educators. Really, we honor them. Thank you for serving our kiddos. But I just knew something was off about the process, the practices, and the procedures. And I became on a call list for TEA, Texas Education Agency, for a new diagnosis. And I just became in love with the law. And it's a great law, and we have great teachers, and we've got great kiddos. And when you put these three things together and equip everything, as I say in my mission statement, when we get it right for the child, we get it right for everybody. And I just found from the beginning, it was just every meeting was laborious. It was just a mess. And I thought it was specific to me. And I've found out over the years, it's not. And there's a myriad of reasons. I don't ever think it's a heart issue. I think it's a lack of funding to properly train our amazing teachers and staff members. But that lack of training creates a chasm between what was required by federal law in 1975 and then often what's actually delivered to our kids with disabilities.
Well, Karen, as a parent, sometimes, as parents, our kids don't come with manuals, unfortunately, right? And so even as parents, we know our kids are learning differently or maybe struggling to learn. There's so many things that could be going on in that school setting. But sometimes as parents, we don't always know exactly what they need, and we need some help. So basically, from your, when I think of you, Karen, I think a very passionate advocate for our kids and for others, and kind of getting those services that our kids need. And we know that a lot of that came from, helping your own child. So, give us some examples. As a parent, say I'm a new parent, I've got new diagnoses, whatever the alphabet soup is, maybe it's ADHD, maybe it's autism, it could be anything, right? When do I know, how do I know if I need an educational advocate? How do I know that I need help?
So, I think that's a couple of things, right? When do you need an educational advocate? I think first you determine if your child has a need. And I think it's easier for me, I'm very simple, and for parents to understand, if your child had a temperature for a couple of days, you might wake it a couple of days, maybe even the whole weekend. But after that, you're going to go see somebody who's in the medical profession, right? If your child's struggling and their areas, language, emotions, academics, cognition, functional needs are not in the average range, you need to intervene at the latest when the weekend's over. You wouldn't wait a month, a semester, a couple of years for a medical intervention. Please do not wait for an educational intervention and go and get your child tested for special education and or related services. Now, special education, it's interesting that you said our kids don't come with a manual. I always say if our kids came with a manual, I'm certain I left mine at the hospital for all three of them. But special education is a very specific part of federal law. And unless you have unlimited time and it's just your passion, it's going to be hard to navigate solely. So at minimum, bring a friend, bring a relative, just bring somebody that's another set of ears. If you can get an educational advocate, I certainly would. Because just like if you bought a house, Allison, nobody would say, I can't believe Allison got a realtor. So special education, you often need representation so that you can navigate these processes. This is what I say to my clients. When we go into the meeting, I'm going to be your child's advocate and you can go back to being their parent. Both of those things are a full-time job.
Well, Karen, something that you said that I love is it's just, you know, it's right now. It's get things going right now. And we've definitely worked with and talked with families where they're waiting. They're waiting for the child to grow up a little bit, waiting for them to be a little bit more mature, waiting for them to have, you know, an IEP meeting, waiting to see if the goals are met. And then before you know it, the child is in fifth grade and functioning at a first or second grade level, and there is several years behind as opposed to weeks or months behind, which it's not impossible, but it makes it challenging to get back to center and kind of where they need to go. So, you know, you mentioned testing, and, you know, testing is a big thing. And so, you know, we know that the schools do testing. Sometimes it's, you know, I guess a lot of times it's something that you have to advocate for and request. But, you know, what if I have my own testing? What if I've had testing done at, you know, by a psychiatrist or psychologist or local children's hospital? Do they accept that testing as well? Talk to us about testing and what is necessary to get the things that we need.
Sure. So if you've, you know, been blessed with the ability to have outside testing, then certainly bring that to the school-based members. That will exceed triggering child find. And child find is a fancy word for the foundation of special education. And it simply says that the school is required to test children with suspected disabilities. That's it, just suspected. So if you are in receipt of a confirmation of that, that solely alone will require the school to test your child. If you don't have that, we can sit down with the school-based members and talk about what we're seeing, what we're observing, what this child is producing or not producing. And based upon that simple conversations, is this in the normed range? And it doesn't have to be a confirmation. Remember, it's simply a suspected disability. And you want that testing. Why do I want testing? It does one of two things. It identifies and eliminates. Just like when you go to the doctor, you want to identify stuff and eliminating. Guessing is a terrible modality for anything in life. And especially when you're talking about your child's entire life, education is so vital for a child to be a successful adult. You do not want to wait. You can't afford to wait. Your child can't afford for you to wait. And the school is waiting on you to start that process. I love schools. They're overworked and underpaid. They serve a gazillion children. It's going to be hard for them sometimes to see just your child's unique circumstances. So please be sure that you're the one driving that conversation to the school-based members.
Yeah, Karen, that's a really good piece of advice. And also, I would say for me as a parent with kids with special needs, I'm a fan of outside testing. Outside testing, however, is expensive. It could be several thousand dollars. It's often not covered by your insurance unless the learning disabilities are as a result, basically, of some other kind of covered trauma like cancer or something like that, right? Yeah. So oftentimes this testing isn't covered. But I think for me, I wanted to know, I didn't, you know what you know as a parent, and I wanted to know going in. Like, I have hired my own independent study. We've got this. I have my answers. I already know what the diagnoses are. I don't need you, the school, to tell me. I just want you to confirm them. And so, you know, I think that there's there's help in that. But if you're not in a position to get that outside testing, there is that testing within the school. And also, I would like to mention, too, that, you know, there's Medicaid waivers in every state. There's Medicaid waivers, and they do testing for those waivers and those waivers, that testing that they do. Now, it could be quite a long time before you get the testing. So as Karen said, don't wait. We don't want to wait a year or two to get the testing. But there are other avenues that you could end up with that testing that you need. Another one that you could end up with testing if you have a child that's between 14 and 22, you know, and they're involved with the Texas Workforce Commission. They do a lot of testing as well.
Yes.
So there are outside ways that you can get testing and get it covered that maybe it won't cost you a few thousand dollars, but it certainly is important. So, you know, I know that we have done webinars with you in the past, Karen, where you talked to us about the IEP process, the ARDS, you know, 504. We throw all these little acronyms out at
yes.
people, and it's a little bit overwhelming, especially if you have a young elementary child. So you talked about, you know, getting a specialist, your situation. We always say your situation is specialized. You should definitely work with a specialist. So, you know, who really needs testing and what, you know, what should they expect from the testing? You know, what are the requirements? So if I just say, hey, listen, I think my child might be autistic, my child might have ADHD, my child might have learning disabilities, and they say, no, we don't think so, we're not going to test them. What are my rights? How do I get this lined up with the school? Just assume I'm not getting outside testing.
Yeah. So that's a lot of questions. Let me see if I can sort of sort those out. So first of all, don't just say you suspect something, because the problem with that is sometimes people ask for something and they have a suspicion, maybe a sibling has it, and then the school just tests in that area. So we are happy to help you with an opening email. We have training on it, but you're going to ask for testing in all eight areas. I'm going to run through it really quickly. Medical, physical, a full language evaluation to include pragmatic, sociological. We certainly know that things that happen outside of the instructional day impact kiddos. A full IQ test to include all 7 G's, formal achievement to include reading, writing, math, listening comprehension, and oral expression, formal adaptive behavior, a formal psychological evaluation, and any related services. So keep this recording and slow it down and write that down. That's going to be in your opening email. We want full formal testing. Now, that testing should come back in about 60 or 45 school days, depending on where you live in the United States. And then from that, we can develop an IEP. Now, if for some silly reason, your child is struggling and the school says, these two goofy things, he's got good grades and he's never been to the office. First of all, don't even get me started on good grades. Every kid in the world is now on the honor roll. There is such a pressure for teachers to pass students, and God bless them. And we test them and test them and test them until they pass. So please do not think that because your child is on the AB honor roll that they are not struggling in school. And so we want to make sure that they've met their legal requirements. And under the procedural rights, you have rights that protect kids with disabilities and their parents. You're required to be in receipt of a thing called a prior written notice. And that has 7 components. We have training on our website and on YouTube. You can avail yourself of that. But these components have to be filled out. And simply, Allison can't just say, sorry, Karen, thanks for coming. Bye-bye. The school has a responsibility to describe, explain, and then describe the instruments that they use to come to those determinant factors, not just, we don't think so. Because we don't think so is a terrible model. So anytime the school denies anything as it relates to education, I would always say to them, should you choose to deny Allison XYZ, please provide that denial in writing in a prior written notice. Almost always, not every time, but pretty much almost always, that will stop any what I call sloppy guesswork as it relates to kids. We cannot afford to be sloppy when it comes to educating kids.
Well, one thing that you mentioned is in writing, and I think that that is a key thing, because a lot of times, you know, especially when the kids are in elementary school, we have a problem with little Johnny, and mom goes in and speaks to the teacher, and she thinks that that little conversation with the teacher is the be-all, end-all as it relates to starting the whole process of of you know, getting evaluated and the whole nine yards. So give the parents, you know, what advice, you know, as far as communicating and writing, and what the, you know, once they have communicated in writing, you know, what the turnaround time is to hear back, that kind of thing. Talk to us about that.
Sure. The first thing I say, and I'm a professional talker, is I tell people to stop talking to people at school. The problem with schools and our neighborhoods and our churches or wherever we convened as humans is we have a thing where we're too familiar with people. We are way too familiar. And at the end of the day, my interests for my family are not your interests for your family. And there is an assumption that if I feel a certain way, the school feels a certain way. Have the meeting in person and get the results in writing. If the results are yes, no, maybe so, that's fine. I'll take those in writing. Stop talking to teachers at the pumpkin patch. I saw you at, you know, the, you know, track day. That is not legal. You're talking about a legal process that schools and states receive state and federal funding for. It needs to happen in a convened meeting. Great thing since COVID is we can all convene right here on the Zoom. But parents, lovely parents and lovely school districts, just sort of, you know, call in Allison, they pat her on the shoulder and say, I know, Allison, my daughter struggled at your age, at the same age too. And it's, there's no malice, but your experience with your daughter is not the principal's experience with your daughter. And so please do not be dismissed, because in all of these years of doing this, 27 years, I've never seen a school come back and go, just kidding, Allison, we'll add on three more years because we missed it. And while we're missing it, these kids are teaching themselves their own strategies to self-manage their disabilities that might serve them in second grade and third grade, but they're not going to serve them long-term and certainly not as adults.
Okay, so we've kind of been talking a bit about maybe newly diagnosed, you know, younger school-aged kids that maybe need some accommodations and parents maybe not really knowing where to start. Could we talk for a moment about our kids that maybe have already gone through, you know, the whole ARD process? There's already an IEP in place. Things, I use the term wheels on the bus, wheels off the bus. Wheels are off the bus. Things are not moving forward like they should. Right. So if I'm that parent and that is my kid, here we are this summer, it's June 27th here, what do I need to be doing? How do I need to be advocating for this child to get us back on track and get the bus wheels rolling forward?
Sure. Well, there's nothing like another set of eyes, right? You can, the one person in the world I can't see is me, but if you came into my house, you could certainly tell me what I could work on. This would be a great time, as it were, to dip your toe in the water. During the summer, our team of advocates are probably the most busy because we're doing what we call records review, where a family simply acquires our services. They send us their opening documents. We review them in totality. We set up a review meeting and we talk about what we see, the new testing we would ask for, the adjustments we would make, recommendations and next steps. And then some of those parents take that information and they're ready to go back to the school and have a fresh meeting, or they realize that they're not fully equipped to negotiate these processes and then bring on an advocate. Part of the problem is that we have terrible paperwork. We have good-hearted people who sat together and we talked about a meeting, but we didn't write anything down. And Allison, you and I have been in 100 meetings, but I can't tell you what happened the last three ones because I don't have the things written down. And the things that we do write down, we write down poorly. In the IEP document, there's a thing called present levels. And the federal law says that the school is charged with writing an IEP to enable the child to make progress in light of their unique circumstances. That's new U.S. Supreme Court law from 2017. And the problem with the paperwork is we don't really fully capture somebody's child's unique circumstances. We have their grades. We have that they were only absent 2 days. They're well-groomed. I always like a good well-groomed child in Texas, but it doesn't really tell me about the impact of the disabilities and or medical conditions and how we appropriately write goals to teach a child to have strategies to self-manage that disability. And because of that, we have really nice people who are working with kiddos, helping them and encouraging them, but not teaching them strategies to self-manage their disability. And so I have said, and for 27 years, and have never been wrong, I've never gotten anybody's opening paperwork and went, Allison, a lot of things you need, not me. This is fantastic, right? And it's sort of like if you were going away for the weekend, Allison, and all of your cherubs are going to be there with a stranger, you would write them a very detailed list of what to do in every circumstance. And unfortunately, we don't always have that in the paperwork for kids with IEPs, which is why sometimes things get worse when we start special ed than better.
For sure. And you know, this is a long journey. I mean, we go kindergarten to 12th grade and then education, you know, past high school. And one thing that I would say, you know, we have some, you know, families that say their kid is proud. They don't want, you know, they're pushing back on this. They don't want their accommodations or whatever. And what I can also say, just from experience, it's important to have those accommodations if they're going into higher education. Having kind of that background of the basis for accommodations in earlier education is going to be a little bit easier because they don't just take your IEPs on the college level. I mean, they'll look at them, right? But just because you had accommodations, you know, in the younger years doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to get them in higher education. But if you went all those years without accommodations and then try to get them for higher education, because now it's harder, it's more difficult, you probably should have had them all along, it is going to be a lot more difficult to get those needed accommodations on like a post-secondary education for sure.
Absolutely.
So Karen, I know Karen's, you know, she's humble, but she's a major rock star. She's really, really great at what she does. She's the owner of Special Education Academy. And tell us about, you know, tell us about your YouTube channel and your TikTok. I know that you're doing nationwide training. I know that you are working with families across the U.S., not just in Texas. She is here in Texas, but she travels and she's working with families all across the nation. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Sure. So I personally do about 500 IEP meetings a year. And thanks to the great COVID, everything's done via Zoom. So I've got kiddos in the Kodiak Islands, Alaska, and Miami to New Hampshire to San Diego. It's a great business model that we can do business now via Zoom. I have a team of advocates that I have personally trained that are as equipped as I am to go into these meetings. We serve families in school-based meetings, 504, IEP, state complaints, mediation, state due process hearings, and federal complaints with the U.S. Department of Education Office of Civil Rights if that's needed. But you know, our heart is to equip people. So we go live on TikTok every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Central. And pretty soon we'll be on all the platforms, thanks to all of that interfacing. And then we train every Tuesday night in Special Education Academy on the federal law. People just don't know the federal law. We're so blessed that probably 3/4 of the people that come and train are school-based members. And that's such an honor. Because as we equip each other, then we all can do better for these kiddos. And that's the real goal, right? For all of us to have better information, better resources and skills and strategies to serve these kiddos so that we all win. You know, we have a nation of people that struggle to read as adults. We have prisons that are full of over 80% of people that cannot read. And so many of these things could have been mitigated if somebody had just said, let's test this cherub for special education to see if he has a need. So we've got to intervene right now, today, so that kids can be successful as adults.
I love that so much. So if I want to find you on TikTok, I'm going to look for a Special Education Boss. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Special Education Boss on TikTok. We have your website at specialeducationacademy.com. You can find her on the YouTube channel as well, Special Education Boss, and Facebook. And so, and we've also got Karen Mayer Cunningham on LinkedIn. And so if you've been listening today and you're saying, hey, this is me, I need help, I need some intervention, you can reach out to Karen directly at Karen@specialeducationboss.com. That's Karen@specialeducationboss.com. And you can reach out to her at 713-269-9751. That's 713-269-9751. You'll be glad you did. And Karen, you know, there's always this burning question. You know, people want to know, can I afford this? Can you just give us, I'm not asking for your prices specifically, and I know you can't speak for everyone, but as it relates to hiring a special education consultant, What kind of, you know, what kind of money can people expect to set aside for this? Just give us a range on that. I think people need to plan.
This is what I describe. We're a car repair. Sometimes it's an air filter and sometimes it's more. I don't send out invoices for thousands. Rarely do I send out an invoice if there's even a comma in it. I do love a good comma. We just don't. We're very efficient. Our team's efficient. We don't nickel and dime people. Whatever time we spend on your file, it's probably going to be about an hour to 2 hours to prep your file, probably an hour to do the pre-Zoom meeting with the parent. And then, you know, not more than probably 2 hours for the IEP meeting. So advocates range, you know, starting at $50 an hour up to, you know, several hundred dollars an hour based on years of experience and expertise. But I've never seen anybody that said getting a special education advocate that was good, that they were on the same page, was not a good investment. It's just a space that parents don't know. Just like I don't know anything about the medical space. I don't know anything about the financial space that you do. So when people go, you could just Google it. I guess you could Google how to put in a transmission, but this is a child. We don't have time to lose. So certainly if that's something that you're thinking about, consider. I think it's going to be a great investment for your child because it will serve them for their entire lifetime.
For sure. For sure. And Karen, you know, the thing is when you talk about the time is now, their brains are developing. The information in is critical at this point. So while I always tell people it's not about looking back or beating yourself up, it's about looking forward or doing the next step or what do we need to do now. But the sooner we get there, the better when it comes to their brains and development and things like that, for sure. Well, yeah. Karen, as usual, it's been my pleasure to be here with you today. Again, Consolidated Planning Group, we're a holistic planning firm. We're nationally certified as Social Security advisors and members of the Special Needs Planning Academy. And, you know, we're a little bit unique in the way that, you know, there's about 260,000 advisors in the U.S. and about 125 total are nuanced in special needs. And as we were talking, your situation is specialized. So as we're planning for the future of our loved ones with disabilities, it's really, really important that we have money in the right buckets. A lot of the families that we serve when their kids are minors, they don't qualify for much or anything, but everything changes when they turn 18. And so, so we help families navigate that, make sure they have money in the right buckets, make sure that they're getting any state and federally funded programs or benefits out there that are that they're eligible for. So, Karen, again, certainly my pleasure being here with you today. And guys, reach out directly to Karen if you need help. Karen at specialeducationboss.com at 713-269-9751. Thanks so much.
Thank you.